Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. That mascara is in the house or in your earbuds. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
You snapping. That's exciting.
I'm popping.
We have lots to talk about. First up today, shaving is getting real. We saw a new ad that I can already tell Jess has deep thoughts. She's giving me eyeballs on it.
Deep thoughts.
Then we're going to talk about cleanser, which is kind of the unsung hero of your skincare routine. So a case for really cleansing with care. And our last topic, air drying, because it'd be too hot for hot tools. We're going to tell you our techniques, and maybe you can get some help out of that.
And our guest is the wonderful Erin Parsons. You know her work. She is the makeup artist for Maybelline New York, the global makeup artist, excuse me. And she's just fantastic, and she gives us so many tips.
Hello.
I'm so scared what you were going to tell me. We just watched the video for Billy, which is like a razor company that sells, you know, women's shaving products, which I'm kind of obsessed with. And I still can't tell what Jess thinks because she's like, I'll tell you on the air. But basically, I think, and I couldn't find proof of this, but it is the first time I saw a razor ad for women, a commercial, that actually showed the hair on the people's skin and then showed a razor with hair in it. And I was like, that's crazy. Like men all the time, the shaving ads, you can see them stroking like their beard, mm-hmm. but you never see like an underarm, a hairy underarm getting shaved.
It wasn't just like stubble. It was like
real hair.
There was like, well, one girl was combing her long underarm hair.
Yes. Secondary to the fact that they showed the hair was also that their whole tagline in marketing is sort of like whenever, wherever you want to remove your hair, or if you don't, you know, we're here for you.
Yes. Yeah.
But what did you think of the fact that like, I just realized I've spent, you know, how many years on this planet and I never saw a shaving commercial with actual hair in it. What does that mean?
But like, I mean, because it's like something you want to see that it's gone. You want to look at the nice thing. Like if I'm watching a dandruff shampoo, I don't need to like get in there and see like Joe Schmo's like chunks. Like I just want to see maybe an illustration. Maybe I'm too prudish or too like squeamish, but if I'm looking at a toilet bowl cleaner, I don't want to like freaking see like a dirty toilet bowl. And I'm not likening like women's body hair is like, you know, dirty toilet bowl. Like, what are you saying, Jess? No, I mean like I don't want to see something that I'm trying to get rid of. And I guess I'm the customer. I'm one of the customers that they're speaking to, which is I'm the customer who wants to get rid of the hair. I don't even like it when I see hair, my own hair in the drain. I'm like, ugh.
But it's like a guy shaving. You're used to seeing that in marketing messages all the time. And it's like sexy. You know, he's in the mirror and like stroking the razor along his jawline.
Yeah.
So it's weird that we never let show that with women.
Well, I guess like what you're getting at is like the social norm, right or wrong,
yeah,
is that women shouldn't have hair. And we're seeing the body
and then even
hair.
When we're telling them to remove it, we don't really show it. Like think about those, remember those 90s, like who wears short shorts? And like
yeah,
the
Nair.
Girl, like
yeah.
their legs were obviously already bare and
yeah.
like 80 miles long when
oh
they
God,
were like
so
pretending
long.
To like stroke a thing along it.
Yeah.
Like who are we kidding?
I think I just, maybe this is just a personal thing. Like I don't like when I shave my legs, I don't like the hair. I don't like the process. I don't like if I'm getting waxed. It's like, ooh, like the hair to me is like kind of gross. Like if Biore.
Is men's hair gross to you though?
Same. Yeah, to hair. Okay. Just freaking You're, hair. Yeah, yeah, it's gross.
Okay.
Like
okay.
if I see like Jeff's like stubble in the sink, I'm like whisk, whisk, whisk with water. Like it's like.
Okay. So
maybe I'm getting off the topic.
No, no, no. But then I think that your issue isn't that women have hair. It's just like you're like tend to be grossed out by hair. What are you going to say about Biore strips?
Right. Like Biore, we know that it gets rid of blackheads or that's like their claim.
Yeah.
I don't need the dude in the commercial to like show me his blackheads. I guess I keep on doing different examples of the
yeah,
same thing.
Yeah.
And I think they're kind of going for like they're pushing. Like I sound like I'm like Fox News. They're pushing like a progressive agenda, which is like, yeah. you know. It says like we have hair, like it's a really great ad. It's really well done. You guys should check it out. It's like you know, people have hair, women have hair, and so like we checked, like, and it shows this girl like looking in her pants.
Yeah,
like I like that they're saying we don't have, you know, let's stop denying that women have hair, that we're human beings. But I don't necessarily. I'm not responding to, and this reminds me of what we talked about last week. I'm not responding to this like anti-beauty movement.
Yeah,
and if the guys, if that makes you want to like tune out or like write me hate mail or. Like hopefully just start a dialogue. Like I'd be really interested to engage because I want to be in step with it, but
yeah,
I don't actually want to be. I'm like, I want to push.
I'm fine with my opinion. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm actually fine with my opinion, but like I'm very open to it.
Yeah.
Which is like why I was excited to have this conversation because I like the ad. I think it's cool, but I don't like, it doesn't, I'm not aspiring to that. I want to aspire to something. I want something to feel
pretty. Do you think
pretty.
That still works for selling products today when we're in a world where everybody has access to everybody else's inner workings, how they do makeup, how they do everything? Does the aspirational sell still work?
I think like the curtain has been pulled back.
That's what I'm
like,
saying, yes.
Yeah, the curtain has been pulled back, but I don't think it means... And I feel like there's definitely four different conversations happening here. Like, I like the permission slip that they're giving girls to mm-hmm. be like, you don't have to shave every last bit of hair
right.
on your body. Like, I'm a horrible shaver. I always leave, like, you know, one section completely unshaved by accident. So, like,
and some women on purpose.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not, like, anti-shaving, anti, like,
but the
body
marketing
hair.
Message you typically like tends to be more.
I wanted, how do I get really smooth legs? I want my legs even smoother. Show me the razor that's going to like make me like a seal. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking for. But I'm a different customer. So
yeah, no, it's just another way to market. I like that there's a diversity of the way that we're talking to women about beauty.
Yes.
I think that's the good thing.
I like the diversity, but I also kind of don't like. I don't want to see an ad with gross gunky hair in a razor, and that ad had that.
Yeah, it makes me think of that Mucinex ad where it was like the weird...
I was just thinking that. And I turned the channel.
He is kind of weird, that weird boogie-looking guy.
You were like toenail fungus
but
ones.
But it does make you pause. And in this, when we're saturated with all these like selling images and marketing all the time, like it made me like be like, oh, hey, look at that. She's
yeah.
shaving her toes. I shave my toes.
Do you
have
you
hair on your
toes?
Big toe? Jinx.
I don't know. I mean, of course I know. But like I don't shave it because it's obviously not strong enough.
Oh,
but
no, when I shave my legs, then I hit my big toe because he grows a little bit of spikiness, too.
So, you know what? Like,
Maybe I should get a Billy razor.
Yeah, maybe you should get a Billy razor, or, you know, but like, you don't have to tell everyone about it.
Okay, all right.
You have to text me the picture of the razor with the hair hanging out.
That was interesting too. They showed the used razor with the hairs in it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that's not beauty. That's like, no, that's personal. And then you chuck that shit in the garbage.
Okay, good to know. Don't go to Justin's garbage, everyone. I want to know what you guys think about that commercial. And just, this is still that ugly is the new pretty conversation that we've been, you know, we've started. And let's continue it.
Yeah, this is a theme. So, Jen.
Yes, Jess.
The last time I was in Switzerland, I was hanging out with Dr. Stengel. He is the director of innovation for La Prairie.
Okay.
You guys have heard of La Prairie. Super fancy schmance, lots of science. And we talked about La Prairie's new launch, which I'll be talking about a little later, but later in the year. But we ended up digressing into talking about something that, like, he got kind of, like, his face kind of lit up when we spoke about, which was cleansing. Now, La Prairie is not launching a new cleanser, but we were just talking about cleansing.
Nobody's face lights up when they're talking about cleanser. They're like, oh, I love my treatment or my face oil. No one's like, cleanser.
Yeah. And he was really like, you know, it was funny because there's so much, I always think like there's so much technology. Like, let's talk about the new, you know, like active and the new cream. And he is like, oh, like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but we're talking about this like step that I kind of look at as like, yeah, cleanser, you know, and then let's get to the good stuff. And that's what he really wanted to talk about. I almost felt like he'd been holding it in. Yeah. And what he was saying is that people really underrate that experience. And it's like he, you know, obviously it may sound kind of price insensitive because he works for a brand where creams are, you know, easily $800. But he's like, you know, people will buy like a cheap cleanser, again, paraphrasing, but they'll buy an inexpensive cleanser and just kind of think it doesn't matter because I've heard this from editors myself. It just washes down the
drain. Yeah, and I've seen that story where it's like, where should you spend and where should you save? And there was
I did that story.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm culpable, guys. My point is not to spend $70 on a cleanser,
but
be thoughtful about it. And he was saying that right now, like, we should be really using very gentle cleansers because of how many actives we're using, how many treatments, like, you know, I just did like the baby facial a couple days ago. I'm pretty sure I don't have like five layers of skin.
Your barriers.
Yeah. My barrier. Yeah, exactly. You know, obviously people are not like editors who are going around like trying a billion different products and getting like fancy treatments, but you know, we are using stronger products because brands are putting more like, you know, exciting stuff in them. If you are a product junkie, you very well might be one. If you're listening to this podcast, you're bouncing around a lot. And he's like, the environment is really bad. So that pollution is sticking on your face. You really need a great cleanser to get rid of that. And he kept on talking about what you mentioned before, barrier protection. Gentle cleanser for barrier protection.
I am so guilty of like, for sake of speed, I have usually in the past picked these cleansers that like, I can rub and rinse and be done.
That's not how you do it.
And I learned, and I think it's as I've gotten older, that like, okay, gentle cleansers might take a little bit more like sweat to get them into like a lather. Mm-hmm. You might have to like emulsify for a longer amount of time to get your makeup off and the dirt off. But it's sort of like signals you to take your time, to be more gentle with your face. And I feel like that's a good thing.
Yeah.
What is your cleansing routine these days? You inspired?
One more thing.
Dr. Stengel's tips. Go.
Dr. Stengel also said how important cleansing is to preserving the microbiome, keeping everything in balance. So you don't want to be using something with like a ton of salicylic acid morning, noon, and night. You don't want to be
really different pH from your skin naturally where like the little happy bacteria are all like, I'm
gone. Yeah. You don't want that squeaky, clean, tight feeling. And I always hear from people, or if I stay at someone's house, I'm amazed by how many people are using those like Neutrogena like wipes as their substitute for a cleanser. Those are great. But those are for travel. Those are for like on the go.
Off some big makeup first and then doing a cleansing after.
Exactly.
What's your go-to these days?
I'm doing right now, I have a couple of cleansers on the go. I do either in the morning, I just wipe with the micellar water, the Kiehl's new herbal micellar water. It's like in a greenish, like a pale
less
green
important then. You don't have all the micro pollutants on your face. Yeah. There's no makeup. Yeah,
exactly. Like just why put my skin through like a horror show in the morning of like scrubbing if, you know, it's not necessary. And at night I use, sorry, this is like a lot of Kiehl's plugging, but the calendula cleanser, because that's like a very, it's like, it's actually called deep calendula cleanser. It gets off all of the grime, but it's very much about protecting the barrier. I mean, that's what Kiehl's whole philosophy. And then I just got a Chanel cleanser, which is very nice, which is a milk to oil cleanser. And that's also really good if I'm feeling a little bit drier and I have like a lot of makeup on.
Oh, that's good when you're dry, yeah. You switch it up. I've been using the Perfect Whip one. Did I tell you about that?
Oh, Jeff brought that back for me from Japan.
Yeah.
He said it's really big there.
Because I still like the foam. It feels good, but I know that that can, you know, damage your barrier. So it's like a very creamy foam that doesn't leave me feeling like dry like that. And I tried the Glossier Milky Jelly because everybody like raves about it. I just didn't emulsify enough for me. Maybe I wasn't using enough product, but like I didn't get that like melting away my makeup kind of feeling. So I've been doing the Perfect Whip and then still sometimes the It Cosmetics Cleansing Balm. Sorry, order. I do the It Cosmetics Cleansing Balm and then the Perfect Whip one.
Love that balm.
Yeah.
Love the balm cleanser.
Anyway, I think this has been a PSA for cleanser. Yeah. Pay attention to that step. It's all important.
Gentle.
So in case anybody didn't get the news, it's summer here in North America. Jess certainly did because she's feisty as hell this week.
Oh, my God.
We don't do well in hot weather, either of us. We're just putting it out there.
Oh, my gosh. Is it winter yet?
Like, who asks for winter? Yes. Is it fall yet?
Yeah. Is it fall? It is so hot. Yesterday was 100 degrees.
Yeah. I didn't go outside.
I was at a baseball game.
Wait, that is so off-brand. I can't eat. You were at a baseball game?
Yeah, I was at the Yankees. Yankee Sox.
Okay. How'd your hair look?
Like it looks now. Like enormous.
You did a little air dry and you went for texture. That's what I've been doing. And also I feel like a lot of women are just embracing their natural texture. Mm-hmm. I like that we are all doing that together. Mm-hmm. Curly, straight, wavy. But I have found that there's some ways that I've been doing air drying that didn't work. So I want to share my experience.
Oh, okay. All right.
So going to bed with your wet hair. I keep hearing people say this, that that's their way of air drying. Every time I do that, I wake up with like weird flat head in the back. I look like I'm a kid in a kindergarten play who has like a big lion mask on. And then they turn sideways and it's like there's nothing in the back.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Because I sleep on my back. But you go to bed with wet hair, right?
Yeah, but
are you a back sleeper?
I start on my back and then I roll over like a chicken, like a rotisserie chicken.
Just like throughout the night?
No, as soon as I'm about to
fall
asleep.
Maybe that's how your hair is so evenly wavy distribution.
You think it's evenly wavy? Because I actually sometimes, like, I saw a photo of us recently from the Mary Kay, like, yearbook that they gave us. They gave us, like, a photo album. Thank you, Mary Kay. And there's a photo of us, and I see my hair is, like, flat and weird in the back. And I'm like, yep, I think it looks good from the front, but I'm not seeing it from the back. So I need to check myself.
So this is what I'm saying. 360 air drying. You have to think about it in all planes.
Yeah.
So lately when I've been air drying, I really try to take my shower earlier in the night. Sometimes I'm a night shower when I'm hot at the end of the sweaty day.
Yeah, yeah.
So that I can have like a vertical air dry moment because I feel like the weight, A, helps my hair tame down.
I completely understand.
And then it's not rubbing against the fabric, which is causing, you know, more frizz and everything.
Yeah.
I have been obsessed with Rita Hazan's weekly treatment. Remember she
I'm using it too.
It is so good.
It's really good.
It starts out the air dry nice and smooth already, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And then I've been using the Kristen S. From Target. No, there's an air dry cream from her.
Oh, okay.
And I rake it through and then I do scrunch, which I feel like a lot of people say don't scrunch because your regular curl pattern gets disrupted. But for me, at least the scrunch just like enhances the wave a little bit.
Now, when you come out of the shower, I have a question, and your hair's sopping wet and your hair is long like mine, like, you know, it's a lot. Do you towel dry it for a while?
I squeeze towel dry it, never roughing it up, you know. And then I just rake through the cream, scrunch a little, and then I try and like walk around very slowly and like don't rub against the sofa and like give myself, you know, 40 minutes for it to air dry.
You know what I used to have as a kid that like, I remember we got one. It was like, oh,
please talk
God,
about
so
a diffuser
fancy.
Right now.
No. We were like, I remember this was like a fancy purchase. My mom got one of those Aquas towels.
Oh, like a microfiber.
But it actually really worked very well.
Actually, we used those because I was a swimmer and that was like the teeny tiny one. Like those. Yeah. Yeah, the chamois.
Yeah, I think I want to get one again because I get out of the shower, my hair is like sopping wet, And then I go to sleep pretty shortly after that. I know it's pretty gross.
So you need to get a little more moisture after
you go to sleep. Yeah, but I don't want to rough it up.
And what's your air dry? Do you need a product? What have you been using?
I wash it. I put a lot of conditioner in. Something that I did do recently was a lot of conditioner in, rinse it out. I'm up for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then I flop on the bed like an animal, fall asleep.
Amazing.
Okay. I wake up and then I hit it with a lot of leave-in conditioner, like a Carol's Daughter Shea leave-in or Garnier makes one called leave-in and detangler. It's like in a seafoam colored bottle. Sorry, I know I'm supposed to give you guys the actual information.
And then that's what we have a blog for.
Yeah, so hit the blog. And then the last one that I've been using a lot that I really like, there's two other products. One is the Garnier 1 Minute Mask. I'll take just a little bit of that and I'll rub it between my hands and I'll just kind of like run it.
Like a styler instead of
a conditioner.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's like the texture is like good enough where you can actually do that. It's not too thin.
That's good for you curly haired and thick haired
girls, I think. Yeah, really good. And then the other one, which I've mentioned a lot before, the Lush Hair Custard. It's really thick. So you really have to rub your hands together. And then like I just this is my technique. Ready?
I'm ready.
I squeeze my hair with it. I just press.
Yeah.
Press. Like I grab it like as if you're like.
Squeeze it into your hair.
Yeah. Like as if you're like grabbing like, I'm so mad at you hair. Like that, you know, and just like push it down to the very end.
Is this helping you get out your summer aggression?
Oh my God.
You look really scary,
so
right?
Yeah. And then I just tap the top where all the frizzies are. But clearly I need to, after seeing that photo, I do think I might need to
pay attention to the back end.
Pay attention to the back end or start my process like an hour or two earlier.
Yeah.
It's hard though.
Meanwhile, all our fine haired listeners are like, that would kill my hair.
You're like,
remember, Jess and I have long, thick, kind of wavy hair. Yeah. Like, it's crazy this time of year.
Yeah.
But hopefully that helps you with your air dry technique if you, like us, do not want to pick up a blow dryer.
Ugh, too much.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga Lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Allo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code MASCARA20. allomoves.com, code MASCARA20. Guys, I am so excited to introduce you to our guest today, Erin Parsons, Maybelline New York's global makeup artist. I met Erin last year in my office where she unveiled like at least 40-something pieces of a lot, right? Yeah. Of the Gigi Hadid like ex Maybelline New York collection. And you know I talked about it nonstop for a while. Now we're going to meet the woman behind it and we're going to ask you all kinds of questions. And like, I have questions about your tats, I have questions about your clothes, I have questions about your hair. And I'm just so glad you're here.
I'm glad too.
I want to talk about my hair, I think, because this is a new thing.
No,
for
it's
me.
Great. It's very like flash dance, like Jennifer Beale. That's
totally
her name, right?
80s.
Jennifer Beale. It's great.
Yeah. I finally have embraced what I was given through my DNA, which was somewhat curly hair.
It's like, beautiful.
It sort of has a bit of a flatness here, but then a fullness here.
Fullness at the top, like flatness at the bottom.
Yeah, it's always been that. So I've always fought it and straightened my hair, except for when I was like in seventh grade and I had perms.
When I met you, you had straight hair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's gorgeous. We'll get to your hair later.
Okay.
But I want to start from the beginning just because, you know, everyone knows your work, but a lot of people don't know about like your story. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to know, you grew up in Ohio. Right?
Sort of.
Okay. Yeah. Correct the record right now. Where did you grow up and what was your relationship to fashion and beauty as a kid or teenager or whenever you kicked that off?
Well, I was born in Illinois and I lived in West Virginia. I lived in Indiana, Ohio, so many places.
You just moved around with your family a lot?
Yeah, we moved around a lot when I was a kid. And I think because of that, I would get really a bit kind of like reclusive. I would stay in my, because you were meeting new people all the time, you know, if I was going to different schools and things like that. So I discovered like the classic movie channel, Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah.
And I would watch that for hours and just like sit in my room, you know, if I wasn't going to school or whatever. And I would be obsessed with all like the classic movie stars. And I remember going to, this is so bad actually, I'm going to admit this, but I would go to the library and find the books on like Marilyn Monroe or Joan Crawford, Marlene Dietrich.
Why is that bad?
Because I would tear the pictures out and keep them at my house.
Oh, vigilante.
I was so terrible.
I love
it. Well, you couldn't like Google things back then. There was no internet or anything. So I would just go to the library and I would tape all the pictures up all over my wall. And so,
Were you just kind of like, were you shy or like, did you not like fit in or were you just like ahead of your time? Like, you know, this is glamorous and you guys are all like lame with your, you know, whatever was cool.
No,
that
I had like no real concept of like what fashion was. I mean, it was like, we just dressed like each other. You know, you just try to be cool and fit in. And so maybe I was kind of preppy. Actually, I look pretty preppy today with this shirt on. So I'm like reliving my seventh grade years.
It's like we're here for it.
Polo. Polo. Yeah.
I think it looks kind of like Beastie Boys-y.
Oh, well, with my like raver pants.
I think maybe that's the effect I was getting. Yeah. Cool.
So, I know concept of fashion, but I just really loved the glamour of like hair and makeup and gowns and things. And
were you practicing on yourself? Would you try and like copy looks or did you have a muse?
Oh, yeah. I had definitely had many muses. I mean, at that time I was growing up in the 90s when later on in life. So I loved all the 90s supermodels and I just loved like I'm so obsessed with Marilyn Monroe that I have her tattooed on my back, like her face. Which probably is kind of a silly spot to put this face tattoo, but I was just so obsessed with her growing up, so I would practice on myself to try to make myself look like them. And I would steal my mom's makeup, which she didn't wear very much, so what I could find. But I do remember when I was young taking this black eyeliner pencil and trying to draw my brows in like Linda Evangelista. And I asked my mom, I was like, do you like it? What's it, you know, how's it look? And she was like, oh, you look like Groucho Marx, which Ouch. At that time I was like, who's Groucho Marx? So what I discovered
Turner
later.
Turner Classic Movies. Yeah.
Yeah. What I discovered later, I was like, shady. Jeez. Come on, Mom. So it was not Linda's eyebrows. It was Groucho's eyebrows that started me off. So, but then I learned, you know, I had never really had much eyebrows. So I had to kind of learn how to draw them on.
Do you find that this work comes out, like this obsession, the Hollywood obsession comes out in your work a lot, or is that something that's kind of in a time capsule?
No, it definitely comes out, because I think from studying all of those women's faces and like what worked on them, like why did Marlana Dietrich's eyebrows work on her? So yeah, I think just the way that certain things shaped their face and why it worked on their face, it was something, you know, I would play with on myself as well. And I'd know what worked on me and what didn't work on me to make you sort of like look your best, you know, what's the eyebrow shape? What's the eyeliner shape or the lipstick shade, contouring, all of that stuff. So now when I work with models, I feel like my strongest point is I can look at them and know what is best going to enhance their beauty.
I've read that you were in the Air Force.
Yeah. It's so funny though.
Where all makeup artists get their start. Yeah.
I was like the only person in BDUs and red lipstick, I'm sure. But it was, yeah, I don't know. I was just a kind of a bad kid. I think all that moving around all my life, I was just like not into school. Mm-hmm. I definitely wasn't going to get in any college. I didn't even try because my grades were like I just passed by. It wasn't, I just like would, you know, kind of go to school to show off my makeup skills, I think. I would go in the bathroom and, like, oh my put God. My makeup on.
Do you have photos?
I didn't bring any, but, oh, if you saw me, you know, a little high bit later on in life. Yeah, high school Erin wasn't as exciting as 20s Erin, when I would draw my eyebrows all the way. I would shave my hairline out here and draw my eyebrows all the way out here. Basically straight.
This doesn't feel like military dress code.
Yeah. Oh, this is after the military. Okay. So I didn't last very
back
long.
To the force.
Yeah,
back to the force. So you join the force.
The force.
It's like
the force be with you.
And I'm also I'm acting like I'm all tough. Like yeah, like I'm a military. Well, I just use lingo.
I wasn't tough.
you join the AF.
It's getting worse.
I like AF stands for something else now. Yeah. But yeah, back then the AF. Yeah, I was 18 and I was just like, I don't know what to do with my life. So I decided to go into the Air Force, took the test, barely passed that.
I salute you. Thank you for your service.
Okay, this is kind of embarrassing. This is why I don't know how much I should talk about it, because I wasn't in there long enough to even give any service. I was in there for 9 months and I made it past what's the first part of it when you do the boot camp?
Okay.
And I did really well.
Appreciate your attempted
your
service.
Your attempted service.
Was it physically like draining like in the movies?
We used to wake up at 4 a.m. and we would have to hurry up, make your bed, get your, you know, your sweats on or whatever. You'd go out for a run, 2 mile run. It's not as bad as like the other branches. The Air Force was the easiest one, they say. But you had to do all your sit-ups, your push-ups, your pull-ups, you run circles for 2 miles. And yeah, it wasn't really for me, to be honest.
Were you like, I need to put my brows on, guys. I need a couple more minutes.
You know, when I showed up at the Air Force, I had my signature platform shoes on. I always wear platforms because I hate being short. I had blue eyeshadow on and I had false lashes. And I had just cut all my hair off because I thought, oh, you're going into the Air Force.
You were having your Goldie Hawn Private Benjamin moment.
Private Benjamin moment. So all my hair was like an inch long. I remember crying after I cut it. Like, what did
I do?
Oh,
my God.
So it just, I have a little peanut head. It didn't work for me. So anyway, I get into the Air Force and the sergeant is screaming at everybody, put your stuff away. You know, they scream at you. It's like how they induct you so you can be, I guess, submissive. Anyway, I'm at the locker and I'm putting my stuff away and I'm all frantic and I'm scared. And I look over at her and she just, like, her mouth gaped open. She didn't even know what to say. She just looked at me, like, really confused and then just walked past me.
She's like, we're going to have to deal with this later.
Yeah, she was like what is this bizarre? So anyway,
That's amazing.
So I think that with the Air Force, I did really well in boot camp. But then when I got out, I was 18, you know, I was partying, like, alcohol, and, like, I was just being a bad kid. Like, I guess kids do in college, only you don't get kicked out of college probably for but you can't drink in the Air Force if you're under 21.
Wait, did you get kicked out?
I got kicked out.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Not a great story. Well, you know, it wasn't technically kicked out. It was more like I kept getting in trouble, and they're like, do you want to be here? And I was like, no. And
okay. Like, so it wasn't the right fit for you.
It wasn't the right fit for me. No.
Then you can tell I've done a little reading. Yeah. So the day after you left the Air Force, you started working for Lanco.
It practically, it felt like that. Really? Actually, no. When I left, I was like working in a Walmart. I just needed a job.
Was it beauty?
I feel like that would have been easier than going to the Air Force. You didn't need to do all that running.
I could have, if I had known. But what got me into retail, what all started this, was I was dating a guy at the time who was also in the Air Force, and he actually made it the whole way through. Good for him. But I ended up living with him in, I think it was San Antonio. I can't remember where at in Texas. So I was served in the military in Texas for 9 months. Anyway, so I met him, and I met his aunt, who was like very glamorous, like everything I loved, her beautiful face, lots of makeup, hair poofed up to here, you know, long nails, all the things I love, like about like women dressing up, I guess. And she was working at, I think it was like Borghese. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how you say that. Anyway, so she was at Dillard's in Texas, and I just needed a job. And she was like, I think I could get you in.
On the floor.
Yeah, so I got into Lanco. And that was my very first start. I was only 19. I started at Lanco.
And what'd you pick up there?
Well, I have to say, like, I always loved doing makeup, so I was really excited about it. Mm-hmm. And my first, like, makeover, it was just a few days into working there. It was a young girl and her mom, and I did the daughter's makeup for, like, she was going to school or high school or something. So I did her makeup, and they bought everything that I put on her. Like, every product. Yeah, so I was kind of like, oh, so maybe, like, maybe I'm good at this. I don't know. It just was something I really liked doing, so came natural.
But that's working with, I hate when people say this, but real women.
But that's what I did for 10 years.
Like, models aren't real women.
Yeah, I know.
But it helps, like,
they are sort of unreal.
Gives you range, right?
Yeah.
And then you somehow ended up in the whole Pat McGrath world. Yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, that was much, you know, I was in retail for 10 years. Yeah, 10 years. So I moved to New York when I was 28.
Like speed and like working with different women.
Yeah. Should this give some hope to our listeners who are working in retail?
Oh, for sure. I mean, because
it seems impossible to make that jump from the floor to like what you're doing.
Yeah, I didn't even know like the world. Like, even though I collected Vogue magazines and hung up everything on my wall that was like makeup related to the models and whatever, I had no idea that that world kind of existed. It wasn't until like Kevin O'Quinn's books came out and I studied them, and I kind of started to understand that there was a world outside of like the little towns I had always lived in. And I was at Lancome for like 2.5 years, and then MAC for 5 years. Then I had to sell shoes for a while because I got fired from MAC.
Girl,
what'd
you do?
I'm always in trouble.
So did Patrick Starr, right? And then you got a MAC collaboration after all that.
That's true.
There's hope for you yet.
No, what did you do?
I just was late all the time. I was late all the time. No, my God.
And now you're in this job that you have to be up at like 5 a.m. for call times.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I can be 10 minutes late. Nobody's like clocking me. I had to clock in.
Then. Oh, gotcha.
And I'm still always 10 minutes late. It's a problem that has plagued me my whole life. I know it's a bad attribute, but
What's your sign?
Capricorn.
Oh, that's unusual for a Capricorn. But keep going.
She's breaking
Sagittarius.
The mold. Left and right.
I don't know what that's about.
Into this, like, I'll call it the editorial world, were you so out of your element? Did you ever think like, oh my God, I shouldn't do this. I should go back to retail.
Well, when I moved here.
Yeah.
I think we're just back up for a second, because I'm sure people are listening and they're like, wait, how did she go from the Mac counter working with Mac?
It wasn't like that. No.
Yeah. Like, how did you get onto editorial?
Yeah. Well, when I first moved to New York, I had heard about Pat McGrath through a friend of mine who was assisting her, and she had been with her for about 5 years, and she was like, hey, you know, if you ever come to New York, we can use you on the shows. And that was like all the motivation I needed. So finally I was like, I'm going to make the leap. I'm going to move to New York. Let's see what happens. Well, nothing happened for a little while. It was just, I was living in Queens, and I was schlepping my suitcase up, you know, 15 minutes up a hill, an hour on the train. It was really tough. And I just tested. Mm-hmm. So I met with photographers. I emailed constantly, you know, trying to assist people. Nobody ever responded, you know.
Just so people know what tested means.
So I would just meet with photographers and do like say a brand new model needed to put pictures in her book.
Yeah.
We could test with her. So
meaning you didn't get paid for
nobody
these
got
gigs.
Paid.
Yeah.
No.
Everyone's just agreeing, let's do this like almost like an art project so that we can all have these photos in our book.
Yeah, it's just to put photos in your book so you can show clients or clients. I didn't have any clients, you know, at first, not for years, but just to show people that I can do makeup here, and here's what I do. And it was because of that, me building my book for like the first year I was there. I mean, I think I got on shows within that first year. But if you're on a show with Pat, I mean, you're like one of 30 people. So it's not, I don't know if she even noticed me the very first show. But then the second season, she definitely noticed me because after that, then she like flew me out to Milan and Paris and I started working on all the shows with her. And then I went full time with her. But it was a struggle. You know, it wasn't, it didn't just happen like overnight. Mm-hmm. I've been here for 10 years and the first like 2 years, I basically starved and just worked really, really hard to get anyone to notice what I was doing. So, yes, you may, you know, transfer over from retail, but save your money, a lot of money. And I think I had like, I don't know, maybe $8,000 when I came here, which was kind of a lot for me to save up. I'd had a car accident and got a little money from that. And it was gone in like 3 months.
I was about to say 2 months.
Maybe it was less than that. I don't even remember. But, wow. You know, I couldn't pay rent. I had a really good friend who was a model that made some good money. And thank goodness she was able to cover it because otherwise I wouldn't be here right now.
Did you have like a little day job? Like a?
I just started to work. Yeah, I actually started to work retail again, but I only did it once. And then Pat, because
you
came
have to
calling.
Be, in, yeah, you have to be ready. Like if they need you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Yeah. Like it's hard to hold down a full time job and sort of transition into that. Yeah. So
that's all good info.
Well done.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you just have to. I mean, there was a point. I always tell this story, but like, I was living in a basement and it had like barely a window, in somewhere in Brooklyn, very far out, and I had no money at all. Like I had to eat ketchup soup. This is my famous story of the ketchup soup story, but I don't have anyone else to rely on. I only have myself. So like if there's, you know, if I needed money there, it's, I have to make it. And you have to wait for paychecks. If you're doing like a job with someone, you might not get paid for a year in this industry. It's terrible like that. But
there was another makeup artist we had on. Christopher. She was like, my low point was when the homeless guy I usually tried to help out had to give me a bagel.
I think it was Christopher Buckle.
It was Christopher Buckle. Because,
oh, wow. That's amazing.
But like you, so
it was at Astor Place.
Wow.
When you said ketchup soup, that's immediately what I was thinking of.
Yeah. No, I opened ketchup packets and put a little water in it. And it wasn't that bad. Spicy. I was kind of like, not that bad. But thank God it was only one day of that. And then somehow a check came through, or the photographer that owed me money finally gave me money. It was like something. And then I was okay for another month.
Just some real talk right now.
No, I appreciate you being so honest, because I think a lot of people think like, it'll be fine, it'll be cool.
It's
and like
glamorous.
It's unless you have that support system that can like float you, it's hard in the beginning if you do get off the ground. Sorry to be like so Debbie Downer, but I'm just like being real.
I know, I hope I'm not Debbie Downer, because get better after that.
But you're just being real. And I think there's not a lot of like, you know, we write an editorial, we write about the cool, happy stories. Like we only in Instagram, we only hear that about the happy stories. No one's like talking about this angle. So I appreciate you being candid.
Yeah.
But I'm going to inject some serious like star power for a second. Uh-huh. You are often mentioned like in the same breath with Gigi Hadid. Uh-huh. How the hell did this like partnership, this friendship, this like power duo come about?
Yeah, I met her when I was working on the shows. And of course, I was working with Pat at the time. And we just got along really well. I don't even know why sometimes that happens, but sometimes personalities just come together and they work out. Like probably like you guys, like you just, you know, you become friends and you don't know. You don't know why certain things work.
What did you like? Just tell us.
Yeah, like she's like one of the nicest people in the world. This is no joke. Like
she always gives a picture backstage too. Like when the editors are being so annoying and we're like, can we get a picture?
She's
pretty good about it.
Yeah, like, I mean, she always tries to, like, I remember one time we were backstage and the catering guy was like, you know, I think she said, hi, how are you? Or something to him. And he was like, wow, nobody's ever asked me that. Like, like, oh my God, like she's just nice to everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. She's a nice person. But anyway, she was just really good to me. You know, she, I had done her makeup for Halloween and we just, you know, started getting closer or whatever. And then she recommended me to Maybelline. She was like kind of a little, angel for me because she helped me out so much right off the bat. Because if you're leaving an assisting job, it's not easy to just break right into the next thing.
Right.
it might take a long time to get into it and to for people to recognize you. You're kind of starting all over again.
But if she's wearing your work out and about, like your name starts to rise as her name rises, I guess.
I think it probably helped with. It's a great thing. Yeah, totally.
Well, I'm jumping a little bit, but they hired you as their global makeup artist. Like, what do you do in that job?
Yeah, well, I do all the ads, all the commercials. I do like influencer events, and I do design some products. I've got to work on Gigi's collection, of course.
Love.
We have a new collection coming out soon. Not with Gigi, but there's something else coming out soon that I can't really talk about.
Okay.
Actually, we have something coming out with Maybelline, and we're doing this, I don't know if I can talk about this, but it's like a Trend Tip Tuesday, and I'm teaching people how to do some of these big trends, but do it in a way that's more wearable. Or maybe sometimes it's not wearable, but I love to just take, I almost always do an eyeliner first, and I'll lay down. So like, let's say I do a black eyeliner around the eye, and it's just at the lash line, kind of slightly smoked out. It's not an overwhelming eye full of makeup. Mm-hmm. Just at the lash line, you know, smoked out, and then you put your blue, like a sapphire blue, just on the top in the center, just on the bottom in the center, maybe just in the corner.
Oh, I love that. So you just complement the black liner.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably use brown, but I get what you're saying. With the hit of color, use the shadow.
Instead of using blue to outline the whole thing.
Exactly. It's not as overwhelming.
Someone should give you a job as like a global makeup artist or something.
I'll take it.
Great.
No, but yeah, and I think that's just a wearable way. And even like you were saying to do brown, but let's say you did like a shimmery coral orange-esque, like maybe just in the inner corner, but you've got your brown around your eye. It's just a wearable way to do a little pop of color.
Safe. I love that. I like those colors.
It does feel safe. Mm. I think, too, that the Lemonade Craze palette came out, and I've started to use that from Maybelline, and I started to use that coral and some yellow, and that's kind of become a trend, and I'm using that a lot.
Yeah, I've been seeing hot coral on the eyes a lot of places. Yeah.
And if you also, another way, I think, to go back into wearing eyeshadow that's bright is it's kind of the opposite of what you see maybe on social media, where it's like really heavily layered on, which is always fun to look at. But I think a wearable way is to do it sheer. And you just do one color, brush it on the eyelid, under the eye, and really soft and sheer. So almost your skin sort of shows through a little bit.
Like buff it out a lot.
Yeah, buff it out a lot. Hmm. I mean, you know, you can, there's ways to do it. So it is just, it's not like packed on.
Yeah.
And then your life, there's life to the eyes. There's like your skin, and it doesn't look so heavily powdered. Mm-hmm. And it can be a bright color, but it just feels like it's part of your skin versus like laid heavily on top. You know?
I read that you have like 5,000 plus references in your phone. Is this true?
Oh, yeah, easily. It's crazy. I have to have like the highest gigabyte phone that you can get because I just save references constantly.
So what are some of your favorite references? Are you, and also like this to me seems like, I mean, that's a lot, but this seems like the bread and butter of like being a makeup artist or a hairstylist. Like you should have this, but are you known as the one? Is this something that people are still doing?
I think if people don't do this in this job, in fashion, if you don't know references, then you're probably going to have a hard time being creative. Because you can look back, like there's, and I love that, you know, since I met my husband and he's Italian, he's shown me some amazing, iconic people who love like really cool makeup looks, like the singer Mina. I'm obsessed with her, Mina Mazzini, and she does.
Is she
this,
current or
no?
It's
more like 50s, 60s, 70s. She's still alive, but she's more like reclusive now. So, but if you look her up, I mean, like she would shave off her eyebrows and like do all this insane like eyeshadow, downturned eyes. I mean, I love references where the makeup really creates a character.
Yeah.
I was looking up, you know, and I have not just references in my phone. I collect vintage Vogue magazines, vintage Harper's magazines, and books. I have so, so many books.
But I wonder if this, because everything is so current now, I wonder if the importance on these references is as important. Sorry, I can't speak today. Like, you know, because everything is kind of like, what happened 5 minutes ago? You know, I don't know if people are kind of studying, kids are studying the way you did when you were 14 years old.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if I walk into a shoot and I see it, like a reference picture hung up on the mood board, and it's like was just posted on Instagram like 2 days ago of a new cover of like, you know, a magazine. And I'm just like, that's your reference?
Like, will that hold up over a point of time? Like, you need like a...
It's more like it was just done. And it's like already been done well.
Yeah.
Why use that as a reference when you have decades, centuries. Like I can, you know, I collect books that of like 18th century, 14th century. You know, I like to see old paintings and things mm-hmm. like that. You can find something modern in everything, you know? So yeah. you can take that reference and create it into what is going to work for whatever the mood board is for that shoot. But yeah, whenever somebody pulls something that's like really so recent, I'm just like, no, yeah. like I don't want to do that. It was just yeah. done and it was done well.
Do you ever, would you say that?
I mean, if it's a friend, but a lot of times you go into these shoots and,
you have
you
a job
don't know.
To do.
Yeah.
But who did this lovely haircut then?
Oh, she's a friend of mine named Britt White. She actually, I think I met her, she was working maybe on one of the Maybelline like digital shoots and mm-hmm. she just has really cool hair herself. And so also she's willing to come to my house and cut my hair because I'm so bourgeois now that I can't even go out to a salon. So she'll come to me.
Says well, ketchup soup Erin over here.
Do you remember those days?
Barely. No, I do. Oh, I can't even look at ketchup anymore.
and I've long admired your tattoos also. Oh. Did you start this collection like back when you were 18?
Yeah. Oh, it's, you know, rebellious me. I was like 16 when I went and got my first tattoo. It was like a horrible lizard on my back, but like nobody ever sees it.
So next to Marilyn Monroe, there's like a weird lizard.
That's so funny.
Or are we talking cover up there?
I don't know
there?
If it's tribal. I don't even know what it looks like anymore.
It's okay. It's on your back. You don't have to look at it.
Well, I have to say, I went and saw, I haven't gotten a tattoo in so many years. Of course, I do have a lot of them, but I was saying to this tattoo artist at that time, I was like, I have this really horrible tattoo on my shoulder. And I was like, I really want to cover it. And he's like, yeah, you can cover it. Just wear short sleeves. And I was like,
oh well, my God.
You gotta like, love tattoo artists.
This is tattoo artists. They're like never nice. They're usually sadists who just like to hurt you. Because I started when, like I said, I was 16. And then I got a lot when I got out of the Air Force and in my 20s. And I was in my hardcore punk rock phase. And everybody had tattoos back then. Mm-hmm. So I started getting a bunch. And then as I got older, I was like, okay, I have a job now that I can actually get my hands done and my neck done.
Yeah.
Of course.
Once you get your neck done, there's no going back. Like, yeah, you better be like, something creative. Yeah,
couldn't like be a secretary after that.
For people who aren't Instagramming you right now, you have a beautiful butterfly like on your like front center of your neck.
I have that butterfly like in my whole entire
Oh my gosh, it's in the back too. Yeah.
But like, it's like a sign of like, I've arrived. I'm going to make a living in a job that I can have a huge neck tattoo.
Well, I was working with Pat at the time, and I remember her saying, well, if you're going to do this, just do something really pretty and pastel and make it, you know, beautiful. And
I could just hear her saying
that. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so I walk in, and it was like, and she was like, that is not at all like what I thought That's you were going to get.
Pretty.
Oh, my God.
Like a biomech, like, screaming head or something. It's a butterfly.
Yeah, butterflies are girly, right?
What was it something, like, that you'd wanted for a long time? Are butterflies important to you, or you're just like, this is pretty?
I just went to my tattoo artist and was like, well, I'm thinking I'm going to do my throat finally. And I'm like, what should we do? And he was like, how about butterflies? I'm like, cool, let's do it.
Oh my God. I'm like, what is the biblical meaning behind these butterflies?
What else is in the Erin Parsons body care and hair care and beauty care kit?
Yeah, I'm okay. So I've been obsessed with this Lanza volumizing shampoo.
Okay.
And bougie again, but Kerastase conditioner that's for like volumizing, because now that I'm wearing my hair natural, mm-hmm. And this is Britt, the hairstylist, she kept trying to get me to wear my hair like this, but I just kept I couldn't like not straighten my hair. I just couldn't seem to get out of it. So she gave me this salt spray from, I want to say it's like Mr. Fantastic or something. I don't know what it's called. But I wish I could look. And it's called Salty Dog.
Salty Dog.
And it's in a white like square rectangular bottle.
Keep talking.
Bottle.
I'll Google.
Yeah. So I spray that in my hair and I just let it air dry.
It looks awesome.
I mean, like, I'm always kind of like doing this to it now. I just like
let
it air dry.
Really into air drying right now. So this is very helpful.
It's too hot for blow dryers.
I know.
It's like 100 degrees
outside.
It's
disgusting right now.
Yeah. So my hair dries really quick with this hot air.
Now, maybe it was just the perspiration from being outside, but you had a nice glow when you came in.
Did you notice
there?
That?
I did.
It's actually, this is probably one of the few non-Maybelline products that I have on my face. It's Charlotte Tilbury. That's why I was saying I wanted to listen to her. It's that wand.
The light retoucher?
Yeah.
Like lightning wand or something. I don't know.
Like squeeze the tube and it comes out as a little puff. Mm-hmm. I really love it because it...
You can't squeeze too much though. Mine was like...
The other stuff I have, the bronzing one, I shouldn't say this because I don't want to make Charlotte upset, but I must have accidentally left the like top part turned open and it all like squeezed
down my cap.
My
bronze one did that too. Where's the highlighting one that didn't
happen? Highlighting one hasn't happened.
Highlighting wand. I think that's all. It's
like beauty light wand or something. But anyway,
what's on your lips too? Like
actually, this is... is Maybelline.
Because they look like full and pretty and like
actually this
nude
is,
but better.
It is a Charlotte Tilbury product and a Maybelline product.
Give us the combo.
Charlotte Tilbury Pillow Talk Lip Liner.
Nice.
I love that stuff. And I can just really, I overline my lips like crazy because they're very small. So I overline with that.
Oh my God, they look so full. I would not think of it as like a thin-lipped woman.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I do. I want to see like a photo of you with your normal
lips. I can
lips.
Wipe it off after we're done when I go to leave here. You'll be amazed. But they have, Maybelline has a new Shine Compulsion lipstick out. And I really love.
That's a lipstick?
Mm-hmm.
It looks so glossy. It's like a gloss on.
Yeah, it's Shine Compulsion. It's Taupe Seduction.
Because glossy is back in my mind. I don't know. I'm like over the matte thing for now.
I mean,
I'm kind of over, unless it's like a satiny matte. I don't want any kind of like little.
It feels fresh.
Yeah. Pucker face matte.
Yeah, I think that it makes my lips feel super moisturized and I don't feel like I'm wearing anything heavy. It's just really lightweight. Mm.
Okay, last question then. We have to ask about the mascara.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who makes this mascara?
I will tell you that I don't think anybody should ever or ever has to buy an expensive mascara because drugstore mascaras are that good.
Yeah.
And of course,
why are they so good?
I just think that.
This is just like one of those things, like don't question it. They're just better.
I just think Maybelline, like for one, they started with mascara.
True.
Mabel, who started tinting her lashes back in, I don't know, what year was it? 1792. I don't really remember the year, but it was like.
Definitely not that far back.
Not far back.
In 1792, Mabel.
But actual Mabel, she was tinting her lashes. So I just think that they've been in the business of mascara for, like they have perfected it. And they make so many different formulas that so you're going to have thick lashes.
Which one is this?
Well, I've done two today now. I am very...
Oh, you're cocktailing your mascara.
Okay, I have to say that. This is how the only way for me to... Because my lashes are really straight and really thin. So I always use, shout out to Shiseido Lash Curler.
Mm-hmm.
Always start with a lash curler. And I have a special way that I curl my lashes from tip all the way to the base.
Weird. Yeah. Instead of base to tip.
I don't do. A lot of people do
such
just like
rebel.
A crimp. I know. A lot of people do that crimp, and then my lashes just look too straight, whereas this like creates a curl. And then I'll use the Maybelline Falsies Push-Up Waterproof Formula, and I just do one coat of that. And the reason is just because my lashes, they just fall so easily because they're so straight. They're almost downturned. So I use the waterproof formula first.
Oh, because it's like holds more or something?
Yeah, they just stay straight up in the air. Otherwise, I can recurl and that's totally fine. But I find that my lashes look more separated if I use one coat of the waterproof and then as many coats of the new, well, it's not new, the Falsies mascara. Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh,
to
my gosh. Thank you, guys. Awesome. Thank you so much. You. It was such a pleasure.
We should have Erin Parsons stay on to have done the Raise a Wand. Mm-hmm. Didn't she have a soothing voice?
She was great.
I feel like she'd be like, Raise a Wand. Or I'll do it. And it'll just be horrible. Mm-hmm. So there you go. What do you have this week, Jessica?
All right. So my lips are getting really freckly. It's something that I've noticed in the past couple of years. And even a dermatologist said to me, like, you want to watch that. So around the perimeter of my lip is like freckles. It's like a line.
Huh.
And he actually told me that he said, if someone ever offers to zap those for you, don't let them.
Why not?
Because he said, like, that's a very dangerous area to laser your lips.
Very thin skin there,
very
too.
Very thin. He said scarring. And this is good for anyone who's ever thought, like, oh, I just might get this freckle lasered off my lip or whatever. Don't do it.
So what are you doing instead?
It's about prevention right now. It's just trying to keep it from getting worse. So what I'm doing is something that I should have been doing since, like, forever. And it's silly that I'm embarrassed to admit that I wasn't really doing this. Using a chapstick or a lip gloss with SPF in it, like especially like in these summer months.
I know, I'm so guilty because I feel like, oh, I wear lipstick, that counts. But
it
like,
doesn't.
You're not always wearing lipstick.
No, you're like
and at the beach, you're going to be like, your lip balm should have SPF.
But like even just walking around the city,
so which
because
one
I'm
is
not
that?
Like at the beach all day. So this is Super Goop Shine On Lip Screen with great polyphenols. It has broad spectrum SPF 50 and
SPF 50?
Like, yeah, it's like a gloss.
But it doesn't look all white and chalky.
No, it's a clear gloss. So all I do is I put
How did they make a clear gloss with SPF 50?
There I have another one too that I have at home. It's like a squeeze tube. This isn't a wand. It's fantastic.
Huh.
So I did, and it's like pepperminty, so it makes you feel fresh too.
Nice.
I put a lipstick over it. I put like a beach stick, like the Charlotte Tilbury beach stick. I just like put it with mix it with it. It's a nice color. It's like I'm just training myself to like think about protecting my lips because your lips are thin and like there's a lot of skin cancer in that area.
Okay, good that you're protecting. Yeah. I like that. I'm raising a wand to Moon Juice Beauty Shroom Exfoliating Acid Potion.
How was that?
So not my usual kind of thing. And I was like, Biologique Recherche, I can't get behind it. The P50, I tried it. It burned. Mm-hmm. I don't want to burn my face off. And this, the woman that made it was sort of like, well, this is like a much gentler version of Biologique Recherche is why they formulated that way. And instead of putting on a cotton pad and then wiping it over, I've been doing it the way they do it with the P50 or with this product, where you put a little bit on your fingertips and then press it into your face. And I feel like it actually is exfoliating me more gently than a scrub. Mm. I've only used this like 2 times a week, but usually I like to do a scrub like 2 times a week to get off the dull skin. Yeah. And I feel like this is doing it in a way that's just, I have a nice gleam afterwards. It feels a little tight in a good way, though. It's not like P50 where you're like, because I know you have to like buffer your way into P50. So anyway, and it's also not quite as harsh. $39, I just noticed that. That's quite a bit for an exfoliating treatment, isn't it? But a little does you a long way. Like, I just do a couple droplets and I press it into my like forehead and nose where, you know, it gets a little bit rough. So,
but you're in that moon juice lifestyle, man. I mean, that's
not me. We know that, but like shrooms, why not?
Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.